First Officer's Log, Stardate 59935.7. Now that I'm the executive officer, I've really got to get into the habit of making these. It's been 2 days since we left Starbase 911, 2 days since passing through the Iconian Gateway, 2 days we've been in the Delta Quadrant, and really, what I'm mostly feeling is surprise. I always expected the DQ to feel different somehow, perhaps a bit more vibrant, maybe a bit sharper colored than before, but what it really is liberating. I spent my first 17 years in Starfleet moving from one battle group to another, but here, there isn't a political boundary or a war front as far as the eye can see. Deep down, I guess I was waiting for the Borg to drop on top of Starbase 900 the moment we got on this side of the gateway. Despite my demand to serve out here on the frontier, I was still thinking like a soldier. Instead, the most action I've seen was an explosion of an EPS conduit yesterday due to phaser feedback. And today? Well, today, all I have to do is get the Assistant Chief Science Officer to show up for duty and do the scans Captain Cortez wants. Computer, is Chief Petty Officer Pichigrota still in his quarters?
Affirmative.
Then why isn't he answering his door? Oh, unless, of course, he's sleeping.
Unknown.
Computer, give me a security override on this thing. Authorization, Dovin Quator Septum. What the?
Chief Petty Officer Arden Pichigrota's quarters were somewhat eccentric. For starters, they were fairly dark.
Computer, lights.
That operation is not permitted.
What? I'm the first officer.
That operation is not permitted.
Beyond the gloom, it was a very strange room. Yes, there was a door. Windows as well, although seeing out them was rather difficult. The construction and furnishing, too, was quite generic, although darkened to only 5% standard lighting. The major sticking point was that all around the room, in odd places like windows or corners, ceilings, mantels in front of windows, on the edges of desks, or on chairs, there were computer monitors. Alcar could only assume that the large dark shapes strewn equally randomly around the room were hardware components. The monitors, though, were the real eye-catchers, not only because they were the only things in the room that were well lit enough for Dovan to see them. They were all in different sizes, some relatively small, some bordering on huge, but every one of them showed data, information, unsorted and infinite, streaming across at near incomprehensible speed. Some were formatted according to Starfleet Elkar's protocols, others with a strange, rippling, pale blue operating format that seemed designed for exactly this kind of work, and others with scripts from a half dozen other familiar and unfamiliar empires, Klingon, Romulan, Bajoran, and others. The screens were constantly changing, reorganizing to accommodate new formats.
Like I said, weird room.
While Dovan was still taking all this in, a tall silhouette rose from in front of one of the hardware components near the windows. The figure removed something from the sides of its head and stepped towards Dovan.
I'm sorry, Alcar. Did you ring for me?
Into the light stepped a long, bony creature with a feline, even feral, and completely hairless face, and long, slender ears that looked 3 times longer and 10 times sharper than a Vulcan's. A Nuncian, in the flesh. Around his neck was a pair of standard-issue engineering earmuffs.
Excuse me, Chief Petty Officer?
I don't understand, Alcar. Did you or didn't you ring for me? Also, you may call me Arden.
Mr. Pichigrota, are you aware of Starfleet rank protocols?
Would you care to sit down? I've always thought some Starfleet rules to be mindlessly restrictive. I'd hoped, knowing your attitude, that you would share some of my views. The drink is for you.
Ironello? They could never get this for me on Gold. How did you know? And what exactly do you know about my attitude?
Sometimes I think that between the pointless and rather irritating episodes of senseless violent rage, the Klingons are onto something. For one, Their leaders kill bureaucrats whenever they get the chance. Ours increase their funding.
Excuse me?
Chief Pachikrota's words were quoted directly from Dovan's private personnel file, a flagrant breach of ship's security.
I realized that I had to get back to my career path of being on starships when they explode. That's why medals should be abolished. They tell people like Inspector 98 that people like me...
That's enough. Okay, Arden, you may have a point. Maybe I am letting this new responsibility dampen my fun-loving, freewheeling sense of rebellion a little too much. Call me Alcar.
A characteristically speedy change of heart, Alcar.
That brings me to my next point, Arden. To be blunt, how the devil do you have access to my personnel file?
Come on over here. I'm sorry I didn't hear you at first. These workstations can, if faulty, generate a sound wave quite capable of damaging me. I needed the ear coverings as a precaution.
And why weren't you in one of the science labs working on the scans the captain asked for?
I was, from here. As you can see, we're still having some issues extending the Excelsior sensor net far enough to scan the Valandrian system.
I can also see that schematic of our sensor department is supposed to be protected from access by other crew members through several layers of security, but I'll let that go. Do go on.
So, since I can't get the scans using our net, instead, I have these.
Chief, this is a short-range scan data. We're still out of long-range distance. How did you...
Really, Alka? You've got bigger problems than figuring out the Noonsian way of life.
Do I sense another quote from my autobiography coming up?
Quite the contrary, my friend. For the last 3 minutes, there's been an unidentified intruder moving in the direction of the computer core. He's been somehow shielding himself from the ship's internal sensors, but it's somewhat more difficult to avoid my scans.
What? And you were going to notify the captain when?
When I had learned all that I could, of course.
Arden, you and me are going to have a long talk later. Dovan, to Amara.
Amara here.
I know you're not one for Kadiskot, Lieutenant, but I've got another game offer for you.
Yes, sir.
It's called Catch the Intruder Who's Crawling Through a Jeffries Tube on the Way to the Computer Core. Care to play?
Intruder alert. Intruder alert.
Yes, sir.
Glad to hear it, Lieutenant. Let's go. Dovan out. Get that pad to the captain, despite what's on it. Don't wait to learn everything next time. And please, don't call her by her first name. Any last words of wisdom for me, Arden?
Yes. Don't ever again use the Kalmari Grand Opening move like you usually do in Kadiskot. Melissa Sharp is far too intelligent to fall for it.
Thanks.
Welcome to Amara. Exit 15 Alpha is clear. Moving to Bravo.
Don't forget to seal the hatch behind you. Meet up with Michaels at Charlie and then move across to 17. I'll meet you at 20. Then stop talking, and they won't hear you coming.
Aye, sir. Roll to Amara.
What now?
Sir, we just cleared 16 Charlie, and Michael saw something. He's circling around, and I'm following.
Take it slow. There's nowhere to go now except to me. So just keep moving carefully. Stop right there. Stop. I won't ask again. All right. I'll take that as a surrender. Now, let's have a look at you. What are you doing here?
Did you get him?
I'm not really sure what I've got yet. It's a human boy.
It's a kid?
As I said. The question is, why is a child in the Jeffries tubes? Do you have anything to say for yourself? Cancel the alert. I'll take him to sick bay. Maybe the doctor can get something out of him.
Well, by all my scans, the boy is perfectly healthy. He just isn't talking. At all.
No idea who he is?
None.
Computer, identify the child in sickbay.
Unknown.
Computer, what is the current crew and passenger manifest for the USS Excelsior?
991.
Computer, how many persons currently aboard the USS Excelsior?
992.
A stowaway?
I just don't see how he got aboard and avoided detection. There are internal scans designed to check for stowaways before and after we leave port.
Obviously they need updating, Ensign. Now, what have we here?
He's not talking.
Anything else?
Well, he's human, approximately 16 years old, and in generally good health except for a little malnutrition and dehydration.
You're Simon, aren't you?
Excuse me, sir?
Simon Westlake.
Yes, ma'am.
Captain?
He's been missing for about 8 months. He's Commodore Westlake's son.
I remember that. How'd he get aboard the Excelsior way out of Starbase 911?
From the Austin.
The USS Austin transported supplies to Starbase 911, and we got about half a bay of medical and ration supplies from them.
I was just getting some ration packs, and I ended up here.
The cargo transporter must have scooped you up with the supplies. The bio-alarm was off because some of the supplies were medical test cylinders designed to simulate biological subjects.
But how have you managed not to be picked up by our internal sensors?
If you know ships, you know where is safe when the sweeps happen.
And do you know ships?
I wanted to be an engineer.
I got the report of your disappearance, but Commodore Westlake never went into details on why. Why did you run away?
I wanted to go to the academy, be like my dad.
So why run away?
Because I can't ever do that.
Why not?
I'm sick.
Really?
My dad said I can never do this. He said I need to be on Earth so they could try to fix me.
He said you could never do what, stowaway?
Go exploring.
I see.
Captain, if I could have a moment with you.
Of course.
He has a neurological condition called Ellerin syndrome. Not very common in humans, but it crept in with some alien genetic material in his family line. It's not life-threatening until the early 20s. Once it takes hold, however, emotional stress and severe physical strain can cause a breakdown of the chemical chains which store memory.
No wonder his father wanted to keep him out of Starfleet and at home. The stresses the academy and service put on a person are horrific.
Some sufferers have experienced virtually complete memory breakdown. Their lives were, for all intents and purposes, over.
So why would he have run away?
You heard him. He wanted adventure. He was too young to do it with his father's blessing, so he decided to do it while he still could.
Very well. Thank you, Doctor. Mr. Amara, have quarters made up for Simon and assign someone to keep an eye on our little Houdini.
Houdini?
An entertainer from Earth. He specialized in escaping restraints.
I'll assign someone from security.
And get him cleaned up and fed. I need to get in contact with Commodore Westlake.
Captain, the report on yesterday's EPS explosion. It seems we made a standard adjustment to the Excelsior's new coolant systems during the refit. But as the first Sovereign-class vessel to use that modification, we had no way of knowing that there was a compatibility issue between the coolant relays and the EPS conduit. It wasn't designed to handle the new input. We've patched it, and I'll get the fix uploaded to the Starfleet Corps of Engineers by the time we get back from Valandria.
Very good, Lieutenant. Will we...
Are you an engineer?
Why, yes I am. The chief engineer, as a matter of fact. What's your name?
Lieutenant, This is Simon Westlake, son of the Admiral. He'll be accompanying us for the next little while, and he seems to have quite an interest in the engineering section. Think you could show him around?
Of course, sir. We'll set up an opportunity for that.
Thank you, Mr. Lorak. Dismissed. That goes for you too, young man. Mr. Amara is waiting outside.
Yes, Captain.
Helm, cool down the warp drive and go to maximum impulse. Bring us in on a slow approach towards Valandria. Let them come to us.
Aye, Captain.
Red alert!
Full scan. Active sensors. Let them know we're here.
Aye, Captain. Actively scanning the system.
Captain, three patrol vessels at bearing 045. They're changing course to intercept. With shields up and weapons charged, intercept in 3 minutes.
So much for peace, love, and the Bolian way.
Let's do this. All hands, this is the captain. Battle stations. I repeat, all hands to battle stations.
In this episode of Star Trek Excelsior, Carlo Bandera played Kinesha Dow. Julian Bain played General Bronze. Daniel DeForest Johnson was Jack Helder. Alistair Stewart played Leo Amara. Alex Keyes was Pachik Rota. Lee Sands portrayed Simon Westlake. Emily Potter was Melissa Sharp. James Haney was Rick Hunter. Alex Keyes was John Hastings. Caitlin Henry played the computer. Nathan Lisney was Admiral Parker. Gary Colbum was Ensign Therapal. Anne Maloney was Ensign Takala. Tim Gaughan was the Starfleet voice. James Haney played Chief Lorth. Stephen Haney was Crewman Harkless. Executive produced and adapted for audio by James Haney, co-producer Alex Keyes, post-production Gary Colbum, James Haney, Mike Hennessy, Alex Keyes, Emily Potter, Mike Mendez, and Jimmy B, narrator Mike Hennessy. Musical credits available on site, with special thanks to Darker Projects, Bravo Fleet, and Gene Roddenberry. No infringement intended against Star Trek, which remains the property of Paramount Pictures. Be sure to tune in for the Excelsior's next voyage, the Valandrian Expedition.
This has been an Excelsior production.